In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Our subject today will be, how can you present the Holy Bible? You know, in preaching, your main tool is to make Bible study for any group you are trying to deliver the message to. The Bible study is the easiest way, the simplest way, usually the first way to use in delivering our mission to any group in the world. So you need to know how to handle the Bible, how to use the Bible, how to choose the simple messages in the Bible, how to present the Holy Bible to any people starting to know our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is like practical technique to make a Bible study. The first point, start by defining the selected book, the writer, and his purpose of writing it. When you read the Bible of Matthew, you should say first, we have like four Gospels after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the four Gospels are telling us the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. They complete each other. They are not against each other. And the story you can get from the four Gospels is rather completed. And Matthew was telling us the story of our Lord Jesus Christ from the Jew point of view, because he was speaking with the Jew. Saint Mark was telling the story to the Romans, so he was focusing on our Lord Jesus Christ as the strong God, as the real strong God. So, with the start of any Bible study, you should focus on who is the writer, why he wrote this, what was the message, the formula he used, and who were the people listening to this gospel or to this letter or to this prophecy. When you read like the Old Testament, you should present Moses as the writer of the first five books, al-Torah, and you should give like hint on the history that Moses was 1,500 years before Christ, and Moses was the great prophet of the Jews, and Moses was the one who received the commandments from the Lord. So just few sentences on the book and the writer. This is important before reading any passage. Okay? Also, when you are speaking about some book, you can point or focus on the main ideas of this book. You can say that in the book of Exodus, Al-Khuruj, you will see the birth of Moses and the stories of the Passover, the crossing of Sinai, and the miracles happened in Sinai. So you are just give them an overview about the book before reading any passage from the Bible. When you say like part from the Proverbs, you should say that the writer of this book is the Solomon, so Suleiman. He was living at like 950 before Christ. This is one of the books we call poetic book or literary books. These books teach us how to live with our Lord, how to live in a sacred life, how to live properly. And usually these books teach us about the behaviors and relationships, how to control our temper, how to love each other, and so. So I'm giving you again the first step in any Bible study. Please start by defining the selected book and the writer and the purpose of the book itself. When we come to the epistles or letters like Romans, you should say like St. Paul history. St. Paul was a Jew before and he accepted the faith late in his life after the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to heaven, and he became good Christian. And he started to preach in Asia. After some time, he went to Europe, to Greece, and he had many troubles, and lastly he was imprisoned for many years, and with the end he became a martyr. So in Romans, Romans means Roma. Rome is the capital of Italy, and the whole letter or the whole epistle was about the concept of the Christian salvation and the answer back on the heresy of Judaism. Understand the technique? Just give the definition of the selected book, the writer, and the purpose of writing it. The second point you should do with any Bible study, that you should read the chapter or the passage at least twice and with a clear voice and slowly, as slow as you can. Because people cannot follow the words of the Bible from the start easily. They need to listen carefully. They need to concentrate on what you are reading. So don't jump from a sentence to the other. Just read carefully, read slowly, and push the words out with a clear voice. In Arabic, you know, we need to the words pronunciation, and even in English, but it's rather more in Arabic. Tashkil al-kalam makes a big fuss, big deal, big problem, actually, when it is read in a wrong way. Also try to link between the verses, to focus on the links, like sentences after each other. Why he said so after saying so? Why he started this way and then proceed this way? And in any small group, it's better to communicate with the listeners. It's better to ask and receive the answers. Don't go just going fluently saying whatever you want to say. It's better with any group of, especially youth or young people, to make it like conversation or discussion. Don't just preach the word in half an hour talking. This is not good for the people listening. Also the prepositions, you know, into Christ is a bit different from in Christ. Into is, you know, much deeper, much stronger. So just focus on the prepositions used in the Bible. And also the way of expressing the ideas. You can ask them, do you think it's better to speak this idea in such a way, and you give it in another way? And they can, you know, compare both ideas. No, the one written in the Bible is much better, much meaningful. So it's better to compare. We can say it in this way, but the way written, it's much better. Okay? Also, you should note the repetitions of the meanings and the words and the verses. In many passages, there are many parts repeated, like the word of I am. I am, in the Gospel of John, it's written like more than 20 times. Because the Gospel of John is very much focusing on the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is light. He is the bread of light. He is the door of salvation. He is the good shepherd. He is so and so. So the Gospel means a lot by saying I am. In Matthew, you will see like any act of Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew, you will see that he is referring back to the Old Testament. So you will see the word of as written, because this is, you know, the key word of the Gospel of Matthew. Another common word in Mark, the Mark Gospel, that instantly, للوقت. للوقت means that it's moving fast. The acts of our Lord Jesus Christ is running, because everything is in his hand. So the repetitions of the words or the verses or the meanings are very important. While our Lord was praying in John 17, He repeated, I'm not of this world, and they are not of this world. He was repeating this sentence. So this means a lot, that this is very important to check on yourself. Are you one of these worlds or you are different? You should be different like your God. He is different. He is not of this world. So just notice how the Holy Spirit repeats some comments, some verses, some words, some sentences or meanings. Also notify that the tenses of the verbs and their forms are essential, because you just focus on was it in the present or the past or the future. This verb is like an order or advice, or this verb is related to the work of God. I mean, some verbs related to God at the one who will do, who will make so and so. But other verbs is related to our role. And was it in the past? God made, or God is making, or God will make so and so. This is essential. This will help you to proceed in your Bible study to express the ideas in the passage. Also, you know, the present continuous. Like any work of our Lord Jesus Christ, usually it's like present continuous. He is always caring. He is controlling. So it's not in the past, not even in the present, but it's continuous. And even in the Bible study, when you point at the commandments, sometimes we read passage from like the letter of James, and I can ask you, could you please check the orders in this passage, what we should do according to the to these 10 sentences? What are Lord's advices in this? So you will follow the orders. If I ask another question, what do you think the grace of God in this passage? So you are seeking the role of God, not your role. I can ask you, what do you think the truth in this passage? What do we believe according to this passage? What should we believe in? What sentences we can say after Amen? You understand? Like, when our Lord was preaching on the mountain, when by saying, your Father knows quite well your needs, we can say, Amen. We believe that our Lord, our God Father, knows quite well everything. But by saying, just ask for the future kingdom of heaven, this is an order, an advice. We cannot say Amen. It's like an order. اطلبوا أولا ملكوت الله وبره. So we should say at that time, okay, or حاضر. فهمي ازاي؟ فحاضر غير أمين. The truth, you can reply أمين. But the order, we should reply حاضر. You understand? So by reading the passage, you can, you know, communicate with the passage. What we should do, what God is doing. Also, you should notice the conditional methods or expressions. Like what? Like saying, if, or if not, if you are not taking my body and my blood, you will not live forever. Okay, so this is like a conditioned expression. If you are not going to go back to your childhood, to be like a child, you can never reach the kingdom of heaven. So it's a condition, you understand? So this is important, that this condition you should think thoroughly. إِن لَمْ تَتُوبُوا جَمِيعَكُمْ كَذَلِكْ تَهْلَكُونَ. If you are not going to repent, no way you will go to hell. You understand? So by following or tracing the words like if, you can know what condition important for our salvation. Also, it's very important to see how the questions expressed in the Bible. There are thousands of questions in the Bible. Some of the questions are to God. God, why you leave me? Why you left me? So it's like praying. And other way, God is asking some questions. Adam, where are you? This is kind of question. And some of the questions are really meaningful, like a question. But other questions is not for answering. It's like just to get the idea behind. So the uslub al-su'al, very important. It will help you to understand what the meaning meant by the Holy Spirit. Also the exclamation methods. Many ways of expressing exclamation. Also try to notice the similarities or the metaphors or the images. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ was usually preaching in images or models like amthal, bidun mathal lam yakun yukallimhum, parables. So it's important to ask yourself, what is the relation between this parable and the meaning he meant by? Why he chose such a way to express the meaning? Why he chose al-khamira? Why he chose the seed and the land? Why he chose the water and the fish? So by asking yourself this question, you will get many deep meanings in the passage. Also, we're still on the second technique or the second way to make a good Bible study to help others to accept the truth in the Bible. Read the chapter twice with a clear voice slowly, I'm reminding you. But notice that the location of the words and its occasion. Occasion, I mean the timing of the word. Was it always continuous? Not only the verb. Was this for the Jews or this is for all of us? Remember in Luke chapter 12, after our Lord Jesus Christ was talking about the Sahar al-Ruh. لَتَكُنْ أَحْقَاءَكُمْ وَمَنْتَقَ مَصَابِحَكُمْ وَقَدَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُشْبُهُونَ أُنَاسًا يَنْتَظِرُونَ سَيِّدْهُمْ. He was then asked by Saint Peter, what this talk for us to? Were you talking to us to? Then he added, how about the stewards, wakil? As if he meant, you need more on this. You are supposed to understand this more than anybody in the world because you are my stewards, al-wukala. You understand? So, the occasion or the meaning. Lahis command, passive or active expressions, subjective or objective, interrogative. You know, this is kind of language interpretations. But it's essential in expressing the truth in the Bible. For you as a leader of a Bible study, it's essential to look for this. Also, you may ask, who said so? To whom he said so? Why he chose these people to say so? Why he said, oh to you, wailu lakum, to the Pharisees? Why he never said so to the sinners? Understand? So we can make questions, and these questions will be very much meaningful to the people around. The third point. So the first point, that was the al-muqaddimah. Just reading and defining the passage and the book and the writer. The second level, just try to notice some notices. Make some notifications. The third step, understand the writer's intention. Focus on the main intention of this passage. Don't go out of the real target of the words. Just focus on what God meant by this. Because you know, many contemplations may get you out of the of the main context or the core of the passage. Before doing so, you should understand the meaning of the difficult words. Some difficult words, you can say, this word usually means so and so. You can go تفتح القاموس and say whatever. You can check the Greek origin of this word. But just know the exact word, what this word means. Also, the meaning of the difficult sentences. You know, Sam Paul is very much famous with the very long sentences. I read for my first time last week that he has like 15 lines in one sentence, in one of his Azondis Rissalt Ephesus. It was meant by it was one sentence, but very long one, more than like 60 words. This is very specific to St. Paul, because you know he is a philosopher. But concerning James or Matthew, the sentences are usually smaller. So you should check out the meaning of the difficult sentences, or you follow them up. Also, the sequence of thoughts. This is very essential in Bible study. When you read like Colossians chapter 3, started by, you are now raised with Christ out of death. So put your mind up there. Accordingly, you are not allowed to live the earthly life as before. Accordingly, fight your old habits. Accordingly, you should enjoy the new life in this way. You understand? So he is putting one thought after the other. Idea and idea, and that's it. The sequence of thoughts and the new idea pushed in its place. In understanding the intention of the book, try to link between the words and the creed, specifically in our mission. As missionaries or preachers, we should get the creed out of the passage. I can ask you in any passage, can you see Sifat Rabbana in this passage? Can you see how God is looking like in this? One will say, he is very kind, asking such a question, he is kind. Another one will say, he is really the Pantocrator, Dabit al-Kul. So we are trying to get the creed out of any passage. Our faith in salvation, in incarnation, in redemption, in baptism, by asking what does this mean related to our faith. You understand? Lord's characteristics, the eternity. So you look for these points of faith wherever and whenever you read the Bible. Also, it's important in our Orthodox faith, as you deliver our Coptic Orthodox faith, you should point at a time the order of the church. When saying, our Lord taught his disciples how to pray, and he said, whenever you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. Whenever you pray, this means we are allowed to repeat this prayer. So in our order of the church, whenever we pray, we should, after expressing our needs, our thanks, our whatever, we end usually by saying, our Father who art in heaven. You understand? So I'm getting the order out of the Bible. In this passage, they were praising God. So we need to praise God with all occasions. Also, the meanings of the name, sometimes it's related to the ideas we are aiming at. The locations of the cities and the distances. Remember my last lecture, while seeing the map and putting the cities on the map, we got some points we couldn't get without the map. We could understand why he was, you know, in a trouble, because he did not know where to go. He was intending to go to Galatia, and the Holy Spirit prevented him, and he tried to turn around, and he couldn't. So by showing the location of the cities, you can understand the story. While saying, do you know where is Samaria from Galil? Most people will not know, but you can know or tell that it's like 5 hours walking. It will add to the passage that our Lord Jesus Christ walked many hours just to speak to this woman. You understand? But if you ignore this point, you missed it. You missed a good point in showing how our Lord is loving everyone. The fourth level or the fourth step in any Bible study, that you try to meditate or apply. This is very essential to reach this level. So you are defining the part you read. You are noticing specific notes. You are trying to understand the meanings and the main intention of the passage you read. And now it's time to think more and more, meditation, and apply. And with this point, it's very important to ask the listeners with the 5 W's, you know, why, where, when, what, if, what, who. Because by asking such questions, they will think with you. Don't ever ask, as Ram has said in his communication lecture, the closed-ended questions. Don't ask such questions. Don't tell them, is Jesus good in this? Come on, you are not dealing with kids. No, you should say why. By saying why, they will think thoroughly, and many answers will come. By saying how, many answers will come. What if? Thousands of answers may come. What if? It's a very nice question in meditation, you understand? And after finishing the meditation with the passage, now put the passage aside and start with our life. How about our life after listening to these words? What if happened to me such an occasion, such a situation? What would I do after listening to this? Why I cannot take the people around me in this way? How can I follow my Lord's steps in dealing with the people this way? So I'm using the same kinds of questions, but not concerning the passage of the Bible, but concerning my life and your life. And this is how to apply the Word of God on our life. So please put questions on the passage, put yourself in the incident as an eyewitness spectator. This is another way that you imagine yourself inside the story. You put yourself inside the passage. You are one of his disciples, seeing our Lord moving. You are David's life. You are Moses. You are Pharaoh. You are this Samaritan woman. You are the keys on the tree. You are this young boy who our Lord brought and he hadano. Just try to put yourself inside. This will help you to know much about the meaning inside. You can ask like, how would you have felt? What's your feeling? Do you feel hudn rabbana? Do you feel the touch of his hand? How was it when our Lord Jesus Christ touched the leprous one for the first time in his life, that somebody could touch him? What did this mean to him? This is, you know, the question will enlighten your mind by new ideas. What would you have done in his place? When you see this bad woman, those who brought her to have her punishment, and they all having stones in their hands, and they were all aggressive, and the flow in this way, what would you do? Most probably you will follow them. She's very bad. This tahil, most probably. But for our Lord, he was very different. He knelt down. He was speaking with her on the sand. He was liable to take her punishment. He was standing in front of her just to put her behind him. facing the problem. So it's a new idea. Could you do this? Could you take the stones in your face for anybody? It's a question. What would you do? Put yourself in the other person's place, the co-actor. Not necessarily to put yourself in our Lord's position, but you may put yourself in others' position. And you can simply ask the people around, what did you learn from the passage? Actually, I used to do this with the little groups, and I found out answers never came to my mind. And very nice ones. So please don't ignore this. Just ask the people after ending the discussion. Lastly, what would you learn from this passage? Also, you can mention living example that matches the passage or looks like it. Very good to put the examples from our life related to this story. In your job, if you find somebody taken in a problem, what's your attitude? In your family, in your home, when somebody's sick, what would you do? After looking after our Lord's story. Also, pick from the passage, is there, and you can ask many questions, is there like a promise in this passage? It's a nice question. Where is the promise in this passage? They will look thoroughly and read it again. Is there any promise? I couldn't see it. Oh yeah, this is a promise. I'm with you. It's a promise. Don't be afraid. Fear not. It's a promise. You understand? لا يعوزني شيء. It's like a promise. So why don't you look for the promises in the passage? Look for hope. What in the passage help you to hope? What's in the passage is a point of truth. According to this verse, I believe in eternity of God. According to this passage, I believe in repentance gives forgiveness. According to the passage, you understand? So our beliefs come from the Bible words. Also, example, التشبيهات, which help understanding, applying it, obeying and training on it. Lastly, it's important to help people to memorize some verses. It's very important to help the people, the simple ones, to memorize the main points or memorize the main words or verses. Because this will help them to recall the meaning you said. By memorizing, just when even saying God is love, it's important. They memorize it. They know that our new God is love. Simply, He is love. Our new God is really a Father. So memorizing some verses is very important to the simple people. You can make some comparison between, this is, you know, a further, deeper step. With a servant or with those who spend some time with the Bible. You can compare the Old Testament with the New Testament. Moses and Christ. Jews and Christians. Pagans and Christians. Those who were worshipping idols and worshipping God. The commandments of the Old Testament, the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way we used to love each other and the way our Lord speaking about love. Just compare. The question of comparing is very precious, very rich with many answers. You can also pick one verse and put similar verse just to concentrate on the idea, to push the idea into the heart. Pushing the ideas into the heart means many verses. Needs pushing. You can compare story and another story. You can compare method by method. You can say why our Lord Jesus Christ did not bring El Man Nisama. He could do it. But he didn't do it. He chose another way. Why you think he chose like the story of five loaves and two fish? He meant another thing. Why he didn't give the people the fish and the loaf by himself? He meant something. Also, you can ask, where is Christ in this? Where is Christ in this passage, in this book? Even in the Old Testament, you should look always after Christ. Because the Holy Book is after our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the meaning by Fattishu Kutub. Fattishu Kutub, search for books, your books about our Lord Jesus Christ. So, lastly, I'm saying Bible study is the key method in our preaching courses to anybody, with the kids, with the young people, with the simple people, with the mind people. But the Bible study is our tool, the Sefer Ruh. So we should learn how to use our Bibles.